Think Realty Nation, it's your host, Abhi Golhar. Welcome to the Think Realty podcast. We have an exciting podcast for you today. My really good friend, Marco Santarelli from Narada Real Estate Investments will be joining us here in just a few minutes. But first, I want to talk about Denver, Colorado and what's been happening in the market there lately. And then Marco will come on. We're talking about his story and we'll talk about out-of-state rental investing and what you can do to really win with out-of-state rentals. We'll also talk a little bit about some of these last-minute improvement projects that you can do on your property to sell it during the spring selling season. Last but not least, we're talking about new ways to potentially sell your home, maybe with Spider-Man. That's the show and more. This is the Think Realty Podcast, brought to you by Roofstock. If you're ready to buy your next investment property, then check out Roofstock, the number one marketplace for buying and selling single-family rental homes. Featuring tenant-occupied rental properties for sale in over 20 states, Roofstock makes it easy to invest in cash-flowing real estate outside your local market. And to help you invest remotely with confidence, all properties are backed by Roofstock's industry-leading 30-day money bank guarantee. Sign up for free today to find your next cash-flowing rental property at roofstock.com/thinkrealty. Let's talk about Denver, Colorado. I love to ski. I'll fly into Denver, and then I'll go to Aspen. You want to learn about real estate market there? Let's go check it out. Inventory in Denver has increased 36% from this March compared to March 2018, and that's according to the Denver Metro Association of Realtors, the DMAR report. This means that more homes were listed on the market and could be absorbed by the market. Am I worried about it? Not really. You know why? Because that's the seller's market and the buyer's market. You know, sellers aren't kings anymore. Buyers are a little more astute. Sellers have to come down on price a little bit. So I'm not so concerned about that. I think it's going to be a good thing. The average days on market, 31 days in March. Levinson, who's with DMAR, said, quote, last year, sellers could price their house a little above fair market value and still get a bidding war. Those days aren't happening anymore. She said her inbox is flooded with price reduction e-flyers. Do you think this is a problem for Denver? I want to know. Get in touch. Go to thinkrealty.com. Ask your question. Make a comment. And maybe if you have a deal in Denver, maybe we can analyze that too. Do it right now. thinkrealty.com. Now, one of my favorite people to talk to in all the world about turnkey real estate investing, out-of-state real estate investing, markets, ideas, strategies, is my good friend Marco Santarelli. If you haven't had the opportunity to meet Marco, you need to make it a point to do so. His knowledge of real estate, his knowledge of investing, operations, and a general understanding of where we are in the market today is, like, beyond a shadow of a doubt, some of the best that I know. So I'm excited to have him on the show. It's going to be a great conversation. If you have questions throughout the show today and you want to get in touch, you have questions for me or questions for Marco, head on over to thinkrealty.com and Marco will offer his contact information here in a little bit. Marco, welcome to the podcast.
Abhi, I am excited to be here. This is awesome. I love your studio.
Hey, thanks. You know, it took me a while. It took me a while to convince everybody that I had more than just a good face for radio. I'm just saying. So, you know, I think, you know, I think I have you to thank for that. You know, I think the instigation was, hey, you got to do more video and all this. We need to see Abhi more outside the radio studio instead of just the big, this, you know, this big inflatable at all the Think Realty events. So here we are.
I love it. I love it. Let's crush this thing. Let's provide some value here.
You got it. Let's make it happen. Give us a little intro on who you are and what you do.
Yeah. So I'm a real estate investor. I like to author some content. I'm a podcast host for passive real estate investing. We help literally hundreds of clients every year build their real estate portfolios for cash flow and to create wealth. And we do that in 22 different markets around the country. So we're all about helping and teaching other people to be successful in real estate and grow their income and create the lifestyle that they want.
Yeah, cash flow for me has always been king. Now, cash flow is king, cash flow is queen, cash flow is the pawn, it's the knight, it's the rook, it's all of these things. So when I'm just starting out as a new real estate investor, I may be inclined to flip. I may be inclined to wholesale. Why is buying income-producing properties so important for a new real estate investor?
Well, when you're flipping property like you're talking about, Abhi, you're really creating chunks of cash. So if I'm buying, renovating, and flipping a property, or even if I'm buying, renovating, and refinancing it and holding it myself, what effectively I'm doing is creating a small business, a job. I'm creating essentially transactional real estate opportunities for me or other people. But the key is you need to take the profit that you make from that and turn it into an income producing investment. And that's why buy and hold is the true long-term wealth creation strategy. Now, there's nothing wrong with flipping property. You can do that all day long. But when you take these chunks of cash and turn them around and buy and hold rental properties, you're creating cash flow. So you want to create streams of cash. And that's what it's all about, is cash flow. So if you have cash flow, you have an immediate return, and you can grow that into wealth in the form of equity as you go. And then we just did a podcast recording right before this. You can turn that equity as you go into more rental properties, more cash flow, because you can pull out, strip, or refinance your properties, take some of that dormant equity, the equity that's not creating any kind of income for you, and turn that into more streams of cash. So now you're leveraging and accelerating your wealth creation.
So how do you do that? So you're using existing equity in your properties and you're creating more streams of cash. Can you break that down and maybe create a little more actionable for some of the new investors that don't understand what that means, really?
Sure. So what happens is we all know that property appreciates over time.
Of course.
It appreciates at a different rate in different markets, on different factors. But let's just talk about this in general terms. Real estate will double in value every 10 to 12 years. It ranges from about 7 to 20, but on average, in general, it's going to be every 10 to 12 years. That's, to me, the slow path, but let's just say it doubles every 10 years.
Yeah.
So if you keep building your real estate portfolio year after year, and every so often, every 3, 5, 7 years, you refinance what you have, where you have enough equity to actually do the refinance and pull equity out, well, guess what? You're now refinancing the property, pulling out that dormant equity. That money you pull out, the cash you pull out, is tax-free because you're creating a new loan. You're borrowing that money. So there's no tax implication on the borrowed funds. So now you take that equity and you use it as a down payment to acquire additional properties in other markets. So you're building your real estate portfolio. You're increasing the amount of cash flow that you have. And this just accelerates the whole process. So it's not a complicated thing to do. It's actually quite simple. It's just you need to have enough equity in the property to be able to do the refinance. Now the question becomes, do I do one at a time, two at a time, or do I do my entire portfolio?
That's right.
Well, yeah, so the answer to that is this. It's actually sometimes faster and better to refinance a pool of properties in your portfolio with one blanket mortgage, one mortgage that covers those multiple properties, and all those properties become collateral to that loan. And then you take that chunk of cash and you turn it into additional purchases, whether they're fourplexes, single families, whatever the case may be.
That's a really, really smart strategy here, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, if you're paying attention to what Marco is saying, it's a really powerful strategy to use when growing your portfolio. Marco, question for you, though. There are a lot of new investors that will say, well, I can just keep leveraging. Have you seen the case where investors will misuse leverage and over-leverage themselves sometimes?
Well, if you're a consumer, then yes, because what happens is you use your properties as an ATM machine, you pull money out, you go on vacation, you buy a car, or you do something quote-unquote stupid with it.
Right.
But if you're thinking like a business person, right? I mean, this is true. If you think like an entrepreneur, business person, and you think like an investor thinks, then you're going to say, how can I take what I have and double down, make it twice as good? How can I 10x what I'm doing? The way to do that is to take the equity that you have. This is just one strategy, but you take that equity and you say, okay, it's sitting there. I own it. It could disappear because of properties depreciating over time. You know, we go through real estate cycles, but it'll come back. in 99% of the cases. But what if I could take that dormant equity and turn it into more cash flow? You still own the equity. All you're doing is moving it, taking it out of one property, moving it into another market, into some other properties, and increasing the number of properties you hold. That's a smart strategy. Now you're thinking like a business person. You're not thinking like a consumer.
That's right. Let's shift gears and talk about out-of-state investing. So you've convinced me, the new investor, that buying cash-flowing properties, buying income-producing properties is important, and that, hey, listen, I can take a little bit of that dormant equity out and go buy more properties. Totally makes sense. I agree with you. If I live in California, if I live in Seattle, New York, some of the more expensive cities and states here in the country, I may not be finding the best possible deal in my neck of the woods. In San Francisco, the median home in all of 2018, the sales price was last data was like $1.25 million, right? So it's a little unrealistic to purchase property in San Francisco, but out of state, if you look at say the Midwest, Indianapolis, you know, which is a great city to invest in Indiana, Columbus, Ohio, you've got even cities in Michigan, even also the Southeast United States. These are great markets, but Marco, I live in California, for example. I live with you where you live. I mean, in fact, I'm just, you know, in your basement. That's, I think you and I agree that I'm moving in at some point. I think that's going to happen. How do I invest in the Midwest? You know, like that seems like a just like that. What? Is that even possible? How do I do this? It seems like it's tough. People can take advantage of me. Now I need boots on ground over there. Seems like so many more moving parts and a pain in the butt.
You would think that in the beginning until you actually do a couple of them, until you invest in a couple of properties and you look back and say, oh, that wasn't complicated. That was very much like a traditional real estate transaction. And then you kind of get the bug and you want to keep doing more and more. The thing is there's no difference between a traditional real estate transaction and investing in a property, a rental property out of state in another market. The team of people you're using is a little different. You're still going to have an inspector. You're still going to have, your acquisition team or your turnkey property provider, which is what we do. You're still going to have your lender. You're still going to have your property management company, et cetera. So you have this team that you work with. And if they're well vetted and reliable people with a good reputation and they do well for you, then there's no issue. Now, what's important is to have a system that you can follow, a methodical purchase process that you can take step by step, even when someone's holding your hand, like, you know, with a company like ourselves, that takes you through the process and allows you to get from A through Z with all the people that you need in order to create a successful transaction. And that's what it's all about. So no, it's not difficult, but it's really more of a mental leap for a lot of people to think, oh man, I was told by the gurus that I have to invest within a 1 or 2 hour radius around my home. So I have to be in my backyard. Yep. But to your point, Abhi, if you're in an expensive market, and there's many of them today, like San Francisco, it's very hard to find a good deal that will cash flow and provide a good rate of return in your backyard. So you're forced to look further and further and further out. And sometimes that's 4 hours away. So what difference does it make if the property's 4 hours away or 3,000 miles away? It really doesn't. It's just, where's your investment capital going to work the hardest for you and generate the highest rates of return? Regardless of where your property is, you're going to have a team managing it for you. So think about this logically and objectively, not emotionally, believing that if you can drive by the property, it's going to be a better deal. Just because I can touch it doesn't mean it makes it better.
No, that's right. It's funny to me how sometimes folks have no problem, right? Zero issue investing in a stock. It's invisible, right? It's you place your order, you click on the buy, and you'll buy an ETF, or you'll buy a stock, or you'll buy Apple with TD Ameritrade, Vanguard, Merrill Lynch, whatever. It doesn't matter who your broker is. But they still have an issue with buying real estate outside their city where you know you're going to get a good deal, where you know you're going to cash flow, and you have good property management on hand to help, and you're going to see these returns over time. Why is that the case? Why are there so many investors that are afraid of taking that leap and investing out of state?
I think it goes back to what I was saying before. It's either their friends, their family, or the so-called gurus that are telling them that they need to be investing locally. And there's a misunderstanding there, because a lot of times what that comes down to is what people think of as real estate investing is what they see on TV, like on HGTV and A&E. And investing meaning you're finding a distressed property, fixing it up, you know, you're doing the work.
Yeah.
And flipping this property. Well, it's a form of investment, but it's, in my opinion, not true investing, because investing means that you are generating cash flow and creating equity, growing that equity over time. You can do this with dividend paying stocks. That's investing. But if you're trading stocks, you're essentially flipping stocks, and that's just capital gains. That's creating a bit of a job, and it's a very active approach. Same thing with real estate. If you're buying properties to flip and taking, you know, these chunks of cash, which are capital gains, same thing. It's an active approach to quote unquote investing. True investing for me is buying assets that generate income, which is passive income, which is cash flow. And that to me is the path to wealth. So that's where the mental hurdle comes in, is people think that, okay, to invest, I have to buy, fix, and flip property. That's not investing. That works well if you do it within a 1 or 2 mile or 2 hour radius from your home. But when it comes to buy and hold investing, think of the United States as, you know, being your oyster. It's, there's opportunities in many different markets. The question is which are the best markets for me? And this is where, you know, with our strategy sessions, we get into a person's head and we start to ask questions and pull that information out, so we know what is a good fit for that particular person in terms of markets, neighborhoods, property types, expected rates of return, long-term capital growth and capital gains. These are all questions that you need to figure out for yourself. And if you can't do it, let somebody help you do it.
No, that's right. What are some of the favorite markets that you have in your mind right now? Are you a fan of, say, Birmingham, Montgomery, Chattanooga, Greenville? There are a lot of markets. You mentioned you're in 22 markets across the country. Do you have any favorites? I don't know if you can say maybe your favorites, but maybe pick your top five that you recommend to investors that are looking for long-term cash flow.
Yeah. So whenever someone asks me what my favorite is, or what's the best market, what's the hot market, my answer is always the same thing. Well, it depends.
That's
it depends
right.
on what you're looking for as an individual investor, because it has to meet your investment goals and your investment criteria, and to some degree, your risk tolerance. Mm-hmm. And then on the flip side of that is, how are you defining the hottest market or the best market? Does that mean it's the best in terms of cash flow? Does it mean it's the best in terms of current price appreciation, or is it a hybrid of those two things where it's blended together? So it's a depends question, just like an attorney would say. However, to give you a couple of examples, you know, markets like Tampa or Jacksonville, Florida are two of many markets that I like in terms of growth and growth potential. You've got good deals and cash flow there, but those are markets that are showing a lot of strength. On the flip side, more of a cash flow dormant type of market, dormant meaning that it's pretty stable. It's a sleeper market. It's not sexy and exciting, but you get good deals and good cash flow. The Alabama markets like Birmingham, Huntsville, Montgomery are certainly in that category. Many parts of Memphis are in that category. What else is there? Parts of Northeast Indiana. Those are markets that are good, solid cash flow markets. They seem to be perennial markets.
Yes,
Atlanta
right.
used to be one of my favorite markets. And I say used to, even though it still is.
Yeah.
The problem is that, one, it's really hard to get inventory where you live, Abhi.
You see all the gray hair? That's because I can't find inventory. I've got to go to like a Birmingham or a Chattanooga. Yeah, that's where I'm buying right now. I can't even, Atlanta, come on, treat me better. Like, that's part of the problem.
Yeah, for such a large market, it's amazing how little inventory there is to be found there. It's extremely competitive, and property values have gone up a lot over the last 3, 4, 5 years.
Right. It's a rocket ship, right? It's like the Falcon X. It's just going to keep going, and it's going to keep going all the way to Jupiter. I don't know how it works. Is that the Master Investor of the Year award that's like behind you to your, I think, over your right shoulder? Is that what it is? Did you do that just for this podcast? Because you and I are head to head to win this thing, and I was sitting right next to you, and I wanted to run up and grab it from you, but you said, no, I can't do this. And I said, well, you're taller than me, so that's a problem. But I noticed that. I'm like, I think he's doing that on purpose.
No, it sits on my windowsill all the time. I'll let you borrow this, Abhi. You're welcome to borrow this.
I can't. This is just not fair. Yeah. Anyway, we have an entire story about this. But Marco, we got to go. Thanks so much for joining me. I appreciate it. For our investors that are interested in getting in touch with you and starting that conversation to building cash flow and building their own wealth, how can they do that?
Our two websites link to each other. I'll give you just the one, passiverealestateinvesting.com. So okay. If you go to passiverealestateinvesting.com, there's lots of free downloads and information, and it links to our property site as well.
Awesome. Marco, thanks so much. I appreciate it. You're awesome as always. And so much great, great insight and investing ideas and strategies that I'm going to use. I'm bringing Birmingham.
Thank you.
Yeah, you got it. Birmingham, Atlanta. Atlanta needs to get a little better when it comes to this inventory. Like, I don't know who I have to talk to, but, you know, like if you're driving to Atlanta, like, and if you're new and you want to move here, like, just take the next exit, just pull a U-turn and just go back. Like, I think that's what needs to happen. Anyway, Marco, thanks so much. I appreciate it, man.
Thanks, Abhi.
You got it. Think Realty Nation, stay tuned. We have a lot more great information for you coming up over the next 2.5-3 minutes. Stay tuned. This segment is brought to you by Narada Real Estate Investments, your premier source for cash flow investment property. Visit www.turnkeyrealestateinvestments.com. It's springtime. I love springtime. The sun, the flowers, the rain, the pollen, all of the things that make springtime great. And if you want to sell your home and you want to make that quick little, you know, appeal, whether it's a curb appeal, you just wanted to spruce up your home, but you don't want to spend a whole lot of money, here's a couple of ideas on how you can do that. Number one, new windows. Zillow reports that new mid-range windows can return about $1.15 for every dollar invested. I think that's a great idea. Especially if your home needs a little bit of repair and maintenance anyway, if you have the budget, and it can be a sizable budget, but if you have the budget, find some new windows. Number two, curb appeal projects. You don't like to see weeds growing out of your driveway or the sidewalk. Get rid of those suckers and clean up your yard. Top among Zillow's recommendations are projects that increase the exterior aesthetics of your home. Walk around your home to identify what quick fixes could make the home look more attractive. You know those gutters that have like the squirrel's nuts in them and they're overflowing with stuff? Yeah, you can absolutely clean that up. Maybe do a nice little power wash to make sure that the exterior of your home looks nice and spiffy. Number three, fresh paint. Oh, I love the smell of a fresh coat of paint. Don't you? It's just like a beautiful, it's like a beautifully mowed lawn. That greenery. And I've been picking on pollen, but Atlanta, you're pretty much like chewing on pollen on a regular basis. A fresh coat of paint makes everything look nice, especially on some of the interior rooms. If you have some extra paint, go interior. Bathroom upgrades. We know the bathrooms are a really big, big deal when it comes to selling your home, just like kitchen and the master bedrooms. So pay a little attention to your bathroom. Zillow says, quote, a mid-range bathroom model, which includes replacing the toilet, tub, and light fixtures, adding a double sink, tiling the floor, and hanging some wallpaper, can result in a $1.71 increase in the home value for every dollar invested. So you don't want to go overboard here. You want to spend the right amount of money. Find that right handyman, that right contractor to help you out, and you'll win. Now, one of my favorite stories that I read that I just kind of chuckled about is the Spider-Man selling homes in Baltimore. This is on the BaltimoreSun.com. You can check it out. It's hilarious. The title of this article, Not Your Average Real Estate Listing. Baltimore agents employ Spider-Man and unicorns to help sell the home. And if you go to Google and if you look at some of these pictures, you have like Spider-Man in the bathroom and you've got Spidey like hanging out on the wall, and it's hilarious. And this home went under contract for sale in one day. So if you want to get unique, do it. You know, there hasn't been many homes that I've seen on the marketplace, on the MLS, especially here in Atlanta where I live, where you have people in the pictures. Maybe there is a reason for that. Or maybe you want to go against the trend, throw on a costume like Ant-Man. I have Ant-Man somewhere around here. Or Spider-Man or anybody and see if it sells. Do a couple cool poses. That's right. Strike a pose and you might just sell your home in less than a day. That's the show. Got questions? Head on over to thinkrealty.com. Ask me questions. You can also find me anywhere online at Abhi Golhar. This podcast is brought to you by Roofstock. If you're ready to buy your next investment property, then check out Roofstock, the number one marketplace for buying and selling single-family rental homes. Featuring tenant-occupied rental properties for sale in over 20 states, Roofstock makes it easy to invest in cash-flowing real estate outside your local market. And to help you invest remotely with confidence, all properties are backed by Roofstock's industry-leading guarantee, the 30-day money-back guarantee. Sign up for free today to find your next cash-flowing rental property at roofstock.com/thinkrealty.